So today's scripture is from Luke 15, verse 11 to 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father's and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'
But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
All right, why don't you bow with me before we open up our Bibles and study this passage together. Jesus, we just thank you for being here with us this morning, but more than that, you are just a merciful Father to us at all times. And we just pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. Amen. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Yeah, clap for those fathers. I don't think I'm going to view this passage again the same way after that skit. But I really love our youth group. I love the youth and just what they bring to our church and our community. And it's just so incredible to be able to experience that every week on Friday nights and just on Sundays too. And one thing I really appreciate about our young people is their boldness to step out. Just they have like a fearlessness or a willingness to try something different. And I've seen that specifically with our youth group and our church, just in general in life, but also in their faith as well. And it's something incredible to witness. I remember just recently on our missions trip, we went on a missions trip with our youth group, and it was so cool to see how they would just step out and witness to people on the streets and be handing out invitations to church. And I couldn't even keep up. I was like handing out stuff and like everybody had something already and there's people being prayed over and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh man, what do I do? Our youth group was just like fully taking the challenge and stepping out and doing just so many different things like that. leading building projects, worship nights, kids ministries. I remember being a youth and I don't know what it was, but I feel like I had a lot more fear than the youth of this generation to step out. I think sometimes a lot of people are hard on this generation is so whatever. There's a lot of negativity. But you know, I see something different. And just for example, I remember when I was in youth group, it took a long time before I could actually pray audibly in front of anybody. Never mind go out on the streets and pray out loud for a complete stranger without anyone forcing me to. I think it was the first time I did it was actually on a missions trip as well. But it was like so frightening for me. And it took me a lot to be able to step out and share my faith with others. And even like doing things like leading a youth activity or whatever. But I remember a youth leader in my life that gently like encouraged me and pushed me to step out in some of those ways in my faith. For example, praying in front of others. I think my biggest fear was, what if I fail? What if I say the wrong thing and look foolish? Sometimes I have that feeling before I come up here too. What if I say the wrong thing that's not correct theology and I make someone, you know, like I'm responsible for, and you know, all these thoughts just start going downhill and then it's like, okay, I can't do it. And I remember that feeling. But usually what happens is it takes someone who, in your failures, responds to you in a gracious way. And that was what happened for me as a youngster. And that's what's happening in this story that we're looking at. The story of the father with two sons is, in fact, we're going to focus on the father. It's Father's Day. Why not? We'll focus on this father and his response to his son's failure. So this merciful father in this story that Jesus tells, he first has this one son that runs away. And in that culture, that was a big thing. Taking the father's possessions and leaving, it was a slap in the face to that father. Complete disrespect, complete disowning, and cutting the ties of family. And most people would, you know, the father would disown the son then, and it would be a mutual separation. But I want to look at this passage and see how does this father respond. And the first of all, the father runs to his son. He runs to his son, and in that culture as well, servants or children would be the ones doing the running. The father, the head of the house, would never run to someone. You have to pick up his, whatever those, the robes they had, and you'd have to run, and that would be kind of a shameful act. And so what this father does, he's the head of the house, is kind of a shameful thing. Let's look at this passage, verse 20. It says, "And he arose, the son, and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." So this is one thing I noticed. Before the son even says anything, before he confesses his sins and makes an apology, this father had compassion. And not only that, he goes out and puts it into action, runs to him, embraces him, kisses him. He not only has compassion, but he fully shows it to his son. He must have been watching for him for days, for him to be waiting for him and seeing him a long ways off. And he's showing that despite what his son has done, he still belongs in the family. He's still valuable to me. He's still loved. My desire, specifically in our youth ministry, has always been that youth can belong and feel valued no matter what. No matter where they're at in life, where they're at in their faith, what they've done. I remember a youth volunteer who I really look up to once said, youth ministry isn't difficult. Teens just need someone who gives a rip about them. And that's really stuck. And I think kids, youth, and adults, we all need someone who gives a rip about us, who runs to us no matter what. And using the youth ministry as an example, I've really seen our youth group take on that culture. I know one of the mottos we've tried to embrace as youth leaders is to take the discomfort of the youth on ourselves. You know, when someone new comes in, to be the one that goes up to them and welcomes them. It's always awkward meeting someone new, right? You don't know what to say. You don't know anything in common yet. There's kind of like maybe a fumbling around. But someone coming into our youth group, like they have even more awkwardness because they don't know what to expect. They don't know anybody maybe. You know, you never know what they're coming in with. And if we can just take some of that discomfort on ourselves and be like, I'm willing to be the awkward one and start this conversation and let them feel welcome and put myself in their position and have compassion on them like the merciful Father. I can take some of that discomfort. You know, we all have those questions when we come to church, when we go wherever we are. Like, do I belong here? Am I going to be valued? Like, what's going to happen? We don't know what the outcome is. And I've seen so many of our youth leaders and our youth step out like this, even when it's uncomfortable. Even one example, the other week, there was a new girl that showed up, and I saw one of our youth girls work up the courage to come over and be the first person to talk to her, as she didn't know anyone. And so just those things are so encouraging to see happening. We all need someone like this who comes to us in our needs or even in our failures. I know that's something that's so hard for me even this last week. I was like, man, I responded very poorly to my children when they messed up. And, you know, my sermon's on my head and I'm like, I don't feel worthy to preach this sermon because I'm doing the opposite of being the merciful Father. I'm being the grouchy, scolding Father when I see something like that. And I'm like, we all want someone to give us grace when we make a mistake, when we mess up. And that's why we need to look to the merciful Father. Going back to the passage, another way that this Father shows his mercy is that he clothes his son. The son tells his father he's no longer worthy to be called his son. In his shame, he's identifying with his sin, his failure, and he's expecting, you know, punishment, which was rightful, right? Whatever he deserved for those actions, he was expecting. Yet what does the father do? He does something outlandish. Let's read verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So this isn't just giving his son a clean change of clothes, kind of like our skit showed. Well, it probably could have been both. It could have been clean change of clothes because he's working with pigs. But he's also taking the son's shame on himself again. And the father is not only doing that, he's restoring him as a son to his true identity. When we were at our men's conference a few weeks back, George Budd shared about an interesting fact that in those days, there probably only, you know, people would have had usually two sets of clothes that they wore. And so his father is essentially taking his other special set of clothes reserved for celebrations or whatever it was, and being like, you're being clothed in this now, my son. And it's a picture of him taking his identity and putting it on his son. He's no longer identifying in his sin, in his failure, in his shame. The father has taken the shame on himself and exchanging it with his true identity, the father's righteousness. So the younger son doesn't have to identify with his failures, even though he didn't feel worthy. Now it's interesting, the older son also is struggling with his own identity, as we kind of saw in the skit as well. The older son identifies with his successes, not with his failures. He's identifying with doing everything right. Both of them, in their own way, are rejecting the father and following their own identities instead of being identifying as sons. Yet both of these identities that they were dealing with led to their downfall. And this is the final thing I noticed about this merciful father, is that he invites both his sons in. He invites them into a feast. And he also invites all of us. And that is a beautiful thing. As you heard from some of our youth, they really enjoy playing together. And you know what? I do too. And I think a lot of us enjoy being enjoyed. We appreciate when other people enjoy us, when we enjoy one another. I think there's a lot about church community that is just simply being together and enjoying one another. I've heard some of our youth say that they feel like at church there isn't, you know, the different cliques or the different groups like they may experience at school, or like it doesn't matter who's more popular or not. Everyone's kind of on the same playing field when they step in the church. Everyone's welcome to just be who they are, be themselves. And this is one of my favorite things about our youth group as well, that everybody is welcome. And even, I love it, our leaders too. Our leaders are so different and just so, you know, I think a lot of their stories are like, I don't feel like I was necessarily called to youth ministry or whatever, like, you know, gifted in youth ministry. They just, you know, gave a rip about young people and just said, decided we're going to, you know, start spending some time with them and showing how we care in our own way. And I've realized that how important that is. The older I've gotten in youth ministry, you know, I'm not really cool anymore to the youth. They don't really care if I know all their lingo or not. That's not what they want. They don't need another buddy that is, you know, popular or whatever. They need someone who cares about them. And I think that is the same for all of us. And that's what's beautiful about our church and this community we have here. And that's how the Father invites us. He invites every single one of us. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what we've done. All those things, we all come just as we are. And he invites us. The Father invites everyone. He invites the younger son who feels unworthy, who's messed up his life, who's got nothing left to show, doesn't have any, you know, good deeds to bring to God and be like, hey, or his father and be like, I can work to pay it off. No, he doesn't have anything left. And the older son has everything going for him, and he rejects the father still, and the father invites him back in. Verse 28 says, this is talking about the older son, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. And so I think that's a really neat picture of how God invites us. No matter what, even if you're angry with God, you're rejecting God for whatever it is, or you feel like you have nothing to offer God, wherever we are, he's inviting us. We have this invitation to come back to the merciful Father in whatever area of life we need to. He's taken our shame. We don't have to work for our approval. He's done the work already. And we can put our identity in him and trusting in what he's done for us, in his death for our sins and his resurrection to give us that new life, that new identity that's being sons and daughters. So every single person here in our whole world bears the image of God, and we are all invited to come back to this identity, to be clothed by the Father, to be dressed in his righteousness that covers all of our shame and sin, and to come to him. And this is my desire for our church, that we can invite everyone, whether it's the proud and the religious or the ones that feel like they're stuck in sin and aren't worthy. And the merciful Father is inviting us all. And so I want us to just pray and ask Jesus, what is the Father inviting you to come back to him from? And that I just want to leave you with that thought as we pray and close this service. Jesus, we just love you and we just thank you for your word. Thank you that you invite us to come back to you. As a merciful Father, you show compassion to each of us. And we are just grateful for that. And we just pray this in your name. Amen.